In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Years ago, a priest friend of mine received a new assignment a couple of years after his ordination. He was going to truly miss his very first parish, but the day came for him to move, and he had just finished packing, carrying his boxes downstairs and placing them into his car, when he heard the pastor call to him from the living room of the rectory. Now, he and his first pastor had not always seen eye to eye on everything, but still, they had shared 2 years living together under the same roof, and they were brothers. That's what we call each other in the priesthood, brothers. We're family. And so he thought, well, this is going to be a goodbye, a thank you, maybe some words of wisdom from an older, experienced pastor. And so he walked into the living room, he went over to the pastor, who was there reading the paper, and the pastor partially put down the paper and put out his hand and said, "I need your keys." That was all. He was crushed. Actually, there were a lot of emotions, complex emotions going on. But the point is, there is just something about keys, giving them, taking them back. And they have always symbolized the giving of a type of authority, a sense of trust, and a sense of belonging to a family kind of thing, or of taking the authority away. Taking away the sense of belonging, the trust, that sense of family. Jesus gives Peter the keys today. He gives him authority, a new sense of trust, and a belonging. St. Augustine wrote in the 400s, "Ubi Petrus, ibi Ecclesia." Where Peter is, there is the church. There is nothing more Catholic than the Pope. In fact, it is impossible to picture the Catholic Church without the Pope. And we encounter Jesus and Peter in the gospel today outside of a small city called Caesarea Philippi. Visiting the ruins today, you can see the city was constructed on a huge hill with a towering bare rock cliff. It's impressive to see. And then all around were shrines to various pagan gods. And so in the midst of these pagan shrines, Jesus, the true God made flesh, asks that question. What's everybody talking about? Who do people say that I am? It is precisely here, in the midst of the chaos of false gods, that the church is founded on a rock. Jesus himself creates the rock of Peter. Jesus gives Simon, that was his name, he gives him a new name, Petrus in Greek, which literally means rock. Never before in history had anyone been named rock. Jesus, of course, spoke Aramaic. But we even know the Aramaic name for Simon. Jesus gave Simon because it is preserved by none other than St. Paul and his letters. And the name is Kephas, or we usually pronounce Cephas, which is Aramaic for rock. Solemnly renaming people in the Bible is much more than handing out a new name like a Pez dispenser. It signifies receiving a new role in salvation history. Think of Abram, who became Abraham, the father of nations. Sarai, who became Sarah, as God then made her part of that plan. And Jacob, who was renamed Israel, which means he who wrestles with God. The keys and power of binding and loosing that Jesus mentions refer to the delegated authority held in ancient Israel by Eliakim, the king's master of the palace, or prime minister, in the first reading. And it was given also to his descendants. He and his descendants were given the keys of the house of David, from which, of course, Jesus descends. Think of David with Jesus, and David's prime minister was right-hand man was Eliakim, and Jesus's is Peter and his descendants. We also see in the Bible, during the Last Supper, Jesus prayed in a special way, specifically for Peter, and gave him a special commission, he said, to confirm your brothers in the faith. That's in Luke's gospel. He also gave Peter a unique commission after his resurrection in John chapter 21, when he told Peter to tend his sheep, to feed his flock. And curiously enough, Peter's name always appears first in the Bible in every list of the 12 apostles, every single time. This authority has remained intact through 20 centuries of popes. Pope Francis is number, anybody know? 266. What an amazing record of unbroken unity of faith and worship and governance. And this is in spite of these sometimes dramatic failings of many of the church's individual members. Napoleon, I've mentioned before, famously said that after imprisoning Pope Pius VII, that he had the power to destroy the Catholic Church. And the cardinal that he was speaking to responded, "Your Majesty, we, the Catholic clergy, have done our best to destroy the Church for the last 1,800 years. We have not succeeded, and neither will you." You could say the Catholic Church still exists in spite of her members. Unity of faith and leadership is not just important, but necessary. Without it, we are all just merely the sole pope of a religion of our own making. Every one of us would be our own pope. And why would I follow what you think if it's opposed to the church? If you told me that, well, I've thought about it really hard and I prayed over it, so you should listen to me. What authority do you have, or any one of us, outside of our own, outside of the church? If I told you something the church didn't teach, run away from me. Depose me. Tell the bishop. A long time ago at my conversion, I decided to follow the leadership Jesus sets in place in the scriptures, and not a particular person's interpretation of it now or centuries after. Jesus did not leave the boat without a rudder to guide it. I've also mentioned before, the word for the devil in the Bible is diabolos, that's the Greek, which literally means to divide, or quite literally, to throw apart. It's has a lot of image in it, to throw apart. The papacy, on the other hand, is established by Jesus in the gospel for this purpose, to make us united, to keep us together, to make us a family. We are a family. Families have disagreements sometimes. We're still family. And no matter how long you might have been away, you're always part of the family. And we love you. And you can always come back. So don't give in to division. Now more than ever, we, the family, need to stay united as one family in Christ if we hope to successfully witness to him in the world. Jesus gave Peter a special mission in today's gospel. "You are the rock on which I will build my church." Peter was a living stone, putting out his nets for a catch of souls, in spite of his foibles and his doubts, which we all have. He is still chosen and becomes the rock on which Jesus will build the church, the same church that is still here today in spite of our best efforts. We are called today to be living stones who continue to build on the bedrock of the church, to form one spiritual house, to build up the church. And the Holy Spirit will transform us into those living stones if we let him, if we have the humility to let him. He invites you to be part of Peter's mission, not your own mission, but the one mission Jesus gave. The question Jesus asked Peter reaches across 2,000 years to your ears today. In the midst of the world, with the constant temptation to division, by your word and by your example, who do you say Jesus is? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand. Thank you.